Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I am still up here on the wall, brethren, bringing you the reports, the warnings, the information of what is coming upon the land. And as I am up here, brethren, I can maintain the same report, and I can also maintain that the declaration that God has put on my mouth, it still holds true. In these last days, God is raising up an army of watchmen to declare His words and to declare the judgments that are coming upon the land. These watchmen are His messengers, and these watchmen are His mouthpiece. The clock is ticking. How much time do we have before the hammer really falls in a heavy way? I do not know. But the watchmen have the burning word in their mouth, and I am one among many, brethren. Now, I want to thank every one of you for listening. I hope that these programs, these audio sermons, have been a blessing to you. I want to start off by saying something. Now, I wrestled with how I needed to say this, because honestly, my brothers and sisters out there, I did not really want to even say this. I'm not very comfortable saying it, so what I'm going to say is something that this watchman hates to do. I hate to ask, brethren. I hate to challenge in this way. Nevertheless, I must. So I ask you to just bear with me so that I can share from my heart what needs to be said. Now, I think that if you have been listening for any length of time, it is obvious by now that God's hand is over this ministry. The whole purpose of what I do actually has several areas. Number one, the first purpose of this ministry is to warn the people of God and to warn the people that aren't of God, to challenge them to come to God. That's the first purpose of this message, to bring the warning, the declaration. The second purpose is to challenge the people to repentance, to challenge you to aim higher in your relationship with God, to challenge you to have an unsatisfied satisfaction in your relationship with God. That is a term Smith Wigglesworth used to say. He used to say that he was satisfied with where he was with God, but he wasn't satisfied because he wanted to always go further. He sought that in a hunger that could never satisfy him. So I'm challenging the people. So that is the second purpose. The third is to teach the people the end time message of Bible prophecy with Scripture. Not to be another Tim LaHaye or another John Hagee or another Hal Lindsey that is just echoing the same message over and over that you've already heard. There are millions of dollars worth of books out there that are being sold in Christian bookstores with the same message. My purpose is to bring a new message, brethren. And my message is this: the events of end time Bible prophecy, as we have been told, are erroneous and are filled with error. It says in Daniel that the wise would understand in the end times. Not the educated, it said the wise. Am I saying that I am the only wise person? Of course not. I am not. I have a whole list, a library full of things I need to bring to you. The number one element that is wrong and erroneous is the teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture. In the days ahead, if we live long enough, brethren, I will say this. In the days ahead, pulpits from all around the world are going to have to be honest with themselves and look around and say, you know, folks, we should have heard a trumpet by now with all these things that are taking place. The preachers eventually are going to have to admit that. Will they? I do not know. However, I am bringing the message that we need to be wise in these last days, brethren. Do not just believe the spoon-fed, cookie-cutter teachings that are there. I am not saying Jesus is not coming soon. Yes, He is. The Messiah's advent, His second coming, is right around the corner. The days of trouble are right around the corner. The persecution and tribulation are coming to this world. The beast will rise up and bring torment and misery to the world's inhabitants, you included if you live long enough to see that. Brethren, we have to know the true events that are coming, because as people are looking for the wrong signs, they will be caught blindsided and fall for deception. So that's my third purpose in this ministry. Number four, the fourth purpose of this ministry is to encourage the remnant to rise up and discover their place with God. The scripture is full of messages of the knowledge that a portion of God's people, a small portion, a minute portion, will rise up in the end times. But these people will be wise to what's going on. These people are called the remnant of God. I want to encourage you if you're the remnant. I cannot do it by myself. There are many voices out there. But I am one of them, and I gladly take this office. I gladly take this task to encourage you, my brother or sister, if you are part of that precious fold. Now, the fifth purpose of this ministry is to encourage the watchmen that are out there. There are watchmen that have realized their place with God right now, but there are also watchmen who have not realized who they are with God. Some of you that are listening to me right now are called to be watchmen of God. He has placed His burden in your heart, and you're wrestling with it. You want to be sure, but He's starting to open your eyes. So I want to encourage you also, my brethren, because you are a brother in this army. You are a fellow soldier in this fight to bring the truth. So I want to encourage you, and in the finite ways that I can, I want to share my experiences to help you to be encouraged. God needs people. God uses humans to accomplish His plans. Now, I've said everything to say this. I need your help, brethren. I need your financial support. If you are very financially challenged yourself, then just pray for this ministry, brethren. I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. I need your prayers for the wisdom of God. I really, really need those. I want to be able to hear God's voice. I need my eyes to stay open. I need my ears to stay uncircumcised. So I covet your prayers, brethren. To the rest of you, take the matter to prayer. That's what I wanted to ask you. Take it to prayer, brethren. Now, I battled on how much I would say to you, and I concluded that I just need to be truthful with you. You need to hear the truth, so I'll tell you the truth. Now, I have literally received emails of gratitude, many, many emails I have received that are thanking me from all over the world. There are people in many countries that this ministry is helping to open their eyes, and I am very thankful for those emails of gratitude. And keep them coming, brethren. It helps to encourage me to keep plowing ahead, okay? Now, so far, this message has reached people in 13 countries at the last count. I need to do another check, but so far, at the last count, it was 13 countries. And, of course, from all over the United States, I have received emails of thankfulness and gratitude as well. Now, out of all the people that have emailed me telling me thank you, only 2 people have donated to this ministry. Now, to the 2 people that have donated up to this point, God bless you, brother. I want to say thank you. God bless you. To my brother in the Northwest that has blessed this ministry, thank you, brother. God bless you. It went mild. It brought tears of gratitude to us when we received it. And to my sister in Texas, I also want to say thank you. Now, I already said that, so I do not want to use up valuable sermon time on this, so I'm going to leave it at that, brethren. Take it to God. Take it to prayer. But with your help, brethren, we're going to reach thousands of people. But there are some very, very exciting things that are coming. So I will leave it at that. Anyway, there are more warnings that this watchman has received from our Lord, but I do not feel free at the moment to share them. But I can say this. I have received 3 more visions of judgment, but I cannot share them because I'm seeking God about them. But let me just say this, brethren. They are very, very spooky. They are very ominous. So when the time comes, I will do that. Anyway, question. Have you been following the stories about the Midwest floods? Of course you have. It's kind of hard not to. Have you seen the soggy sorrow that is occurring in the Midwest? The floodwaters? The floodwaters that are soaking the ground in the Midwest? In the basin of the Mississippi River? You've seen those, haven't you? My brothers and sisters, listen to me. Those floodwaters are declaring the existence of an Almighty God. They are declaring that Almighty God allowed them to happen. But the world, in blindness, declares their God, that has no face and that cannot speak or hear, caused these floods. Global warming. That's who they're worshiping when they say, look what's happening. Or they say, Mother Nature is doing it. Denying their own creator, they are saying the words of a foolish man. Floodwaters arrived in the Midwest, brethren. Now, did our Lord have to labor for days and nights to send those floodwaters to the Midwest? No. The floodwaters were created and arrived with a whisper of His breath. That was it. And with this whisper, He sent the torrents to declare His might and to reveal His strong arm, to declare that He is who He said He is. He is the great I Am that the world denies. He is the great I Am that this world rejects and ignores. He is the great I Am that wants to wake you up. He intends to get this fallen world's attention, brethren. He intends to. The flooding is there. This very day, June 17th, Tuesday, 2008, the flooding is very real in the Midwest. And now we have the flooding going downstream. Now, approximately 2 months ago, on April the 18th, 2008, God gave a word to this watchman. And in my other broadcast, I declared that judgment. I read it. If you've been on my website, you have probably read it by now. It's on the front in big red letters. It says, warning, the judgment of God has begun. It also says, note, fulfillment in progress. Now, if you have not been to my website, I'm going to read this word very quickly because I want to say something about it. Here's the word God gave me on April the 18th, 2008, when I was seeking him in the night watch. To those that would have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, it has become so. The judgment that was at the door has walked through the threshold. The patience of the Lord God Almighty has diminished and grown weary. The sins of the land have poisoned the waters of America and are overflowing the banks. The waters and the rivers of America are full of the blood of the murdered unborn. They are full of iniquity, adultery, and fornication. They are full of the abomination of Sodom. The waters are polluted. The waters are polluted. The waters are polluted. They are foul. Therefore, this watchman declares and cries out over the land that the judgment of the Lord Jehovah has begun. Because the people of apostasy did not desire the truth nor the living water of the Word of God, prepare to see the poisoning of the water of the land. Because the ears of the sleeping have been closed to the cries of the prophets, prepare to hear the cries of people as God allows them to be stripped of their earthly idols and possessions. Because the people of apostasy did not desire the true bread of life, prepare to see the bread of man become more precious than gold. Famine will reach the shores of America. Idle hands will be replaced with hands searching for food. Because the people of apostasy placed material goods, cars, and wealth over holiness, prepare to see these people living in their cars. The land weary and full of iniquity will soon answer the cry from heaven with famine, earthquakes, and the tempest of deadly storms. Therefore, let the people of God seek shelter in the heart of God with repentance, tears, and reverence. Let the people of God seek the wisdom of God for instruction to weather the days ahead. This watchman has declared it. Let it be so. Amen. April 18th, 2008. Now here we are 2 months later, brethren. One of the words of that prophecy said, because the sins of America, which have been overlooked and tolerated for too long in the dead, lukewarm churches of America, the sins of America have polluted the waters over the entire land. But have the people cried out about it over the years, in the last days, in the last months? Do you hear a cry of remorse from the pulpits across the land? No, you do not. Do you hear the people crying out when they go to church? Crying out, brethren, saints, brothers and sisters, the land is full of poison from the blood of the unborn babies and the murdered children, the innocents that are slaughtered and flushed down the drain. Do you hear people crying out for that? No, you have not. But those cries have not gone unheard from heaven. Those cries are still crying out to God Almighty. Those children are under the altar of God at this very day, crying out, Lord, how long, how long? The cup of iniquity has become full finally, brethren, and God has said it has been time enough. Therefore, his judgment has begun. And because the waters of this country and this land are polluted with the murdered unborn children and their blood and all the sins of man and adultery and fornication and the sins of Sodom, God therefore is going to poison the waters of this land. His prophetic word declared it 2 months ago, brethren. It was declared. It was published. It was on my website 2 months ago. And here we are 2 months later with flooding in the Midwest. The story came out yesterday on MSN. Flowing down the mighty Mississippi are the floodwaters from the Midwest, going south, going downstream, but the water is poison. The people are standing in line in Iowa, standing in line, brethren, this very day to get tetanus shots because of all the poison in the water. All manner of refuse is floating down the Iowa River. 55-gallon drums labeled corrosive are floating down the river. There are propane tanks with their poison floating down the river. Dead animals, carcasses rotting, floating down the river, and also mixed into the floodwaters are pesticides, herbicides, fertilizer, and then there are the wells in the rural counties and areas. They are contaminated. The mosquito misery breeding rapidly in the standing pools of water. In one farm in Oakville, over 1,000 dead pigs are floating around the farm who are choked in the water, polluting the waters with their dead carcasses. What will the flooding do to townships downstream, saints? To the farms along the banks of the mighty Mississippi. What's going to happen to all that poison? What's going to happen to the people that are walking in this poison? They have made announcements. Do not drink the water. You may not live. Now, was this the fulfillment of the word that I just mentioned? It is a portion of fulfillment. That is not all. God is not just smiting his mighty hand on the Midwest or in one state of Iowa. It's going to happen across the land. This is just one event. But God said it, brethren. God said it, and this watchman declared it, and it is occurring right now. God will not be mocked. Now, the flooding is going to serve its useful purpose in the will of God. It's not random. Do you think that this flooding leaked through the plan of God and he had no knowledge of it? It was an accident? Do you think that God took a nap and went on vacation and then it flooded on the Midwest? Is that what you think, brethren? Everything that happens on earth, God knows about it. And he either approves it, or he stops it, or he allows it. This flooding is too massive in scale. This flooding is too historical in scale to say that this is just an event of the weather or an event of the fallen world. Yes, we are in a fallen world, but God is a sovereign God, and his word is sure. His word is steadfast, and he has told us over and over in his word that his hand will smite the land when the land sins against him. Hard words, right, brethren? Very hard words. Now, Monday, the state of California began their homosexual weddings. Nationwide, there is a mad rush to the airports. Getting on a plane, homosexual couples, lesbian couples, hopping on planes in their mad rush to California to be wed, to commit their homosexual weddings. There's a mad rush to California from other states, brethren. They're excited to do the deeds that my Bible calls an abomination. What California is doing is abominable. Did I offend you? Is anyone listening right now? Is anyone bothered by the words that I just said? By the words of this watchman? Well, keep listening and you're going to hear more declaration of God's holy truth. Keep listening, brethren. It says in Psalms 89:14 that justice and judgment are the habitation of the throne of God. Justice and judgment, brethren. And then it goes on to say, mercy and truth shall go before him. Therefore, you are hearing the truth right now from this watchman. You are hearing the truth that bites into your soul when you hear the words. You are hearing the truth of God that cuts to the quick, down to the very marrow of your bone when you hear this truth, brethren. That's what God does first. He sends forth his truth first. And if you happen to listen to the truth and you repent, then you find mercy. But that's the only way it goes. That's the only way that you can have a formula in the hand of God. Mercy and truth go first, and his habitation is built on justice and judgment. And for those that don't want to listen to the truth, there is no mercy for you. You get no grace. There is no grace for those of you that resist the truth of God, brethren. None. For those backslidden Christians that are listening to me right now, if it offends you for me to call the homosexuals in California getting married an abomination, then perhaps you need to evaluate your Christianity. Perhaps you need to evaluate where you stand with God. Listen to me, folks. God's word is true. His word is real. And if he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. Not one jot or tittle will fail. Every part of God's word will come to pass. The God who I serve with a whisper allowed the flooding, and with a swipe of his hand, he's sending drought to California. Brethren, listen to me. What California is doing, what they are doing, brethren, if they keep it up, these deeds, California, I speak to you right now. To the state of California, I speak to you, and I say these deeds that you are tolerating, they are wearing you against the balance of your Creator. The just hand of Almighty God holds a rod of iron, and at the time appointed, his rod, his hammer will be swift, and it shall smite across your land. And when you find yourself in drought, you know this, that God will not be mocked. When your fields are barren and your harvest withers on the vine, know this, that the statutes of God are true. He gave us his law, folks, his pure words, as silver refined in the furnace of the earth. His statutes, his words, they will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word, folks, it will be complete. His word declares in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 13, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of bread thereof, and I will send famine to that land. Look it up, brethren. Ezekiel 14, 13. Don't kid yourself, folks. Don't think that just because the worthless coin that's in your pocket that says, In God we trust, that means that this nation has a bubble of God's fairy dust protection over it. A lot of people say, God wouldn't hurt America because we're a Christian nation. My brother or sister, do you really, really believe that? Can you tell me with a straight face that those words are really true? 4,000 a day, my brother. 4,000 a day, my sister. 4,000 babies slaughtered every day in this country. Their blood cries out. Their blood spilled by the fools that think they can play God. Their blood spilled by the hypocrites sitting in church who get pregnant, and instead of doing the right thing and cleaning up their mess, instead, this happens this very day. Even today, we have people who dare put the name of Christ on their religion, walk into an abortion clinic, and for the sake of saving their reputation, they spill out the blood of the innocents. Well, Brother Nation, does that bother you? What's the big deal? Yes, it bothers me. It bothers me, and I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of fake Christians saying, in God we trust, that we're a Christian country when we have that abominable murder happening in this country. I'm sick of it. I'm going to say something. I'm declaring to the dead carcasses listening to me, repent, folks. And I'm talking to church folks as well right now. Repent. You don't need to go to another men's retreat. You don't need to go to another women's retreat. You don't need to buy another latte at that cafe bar in your megachurch. You need to hide yourself in your bedroom right this very day. And don't come out until you've shed tears and become ashamed of the embarrassment that your life is right now, tolerating that junk that you tolerate. Brethren, hear me. Just because you live in this country does not exempt you from God's judgment. Stop being undecided. Get out of the valley of decision and let revival come into your heart. Tell your flesh to hit the road. So many out there do not understand the judging hand of God. And believe it or not, folks, believe it or not, in the church, they are full of them. How can I put this? The church is full of knuckleheads. Knuckleheads that are no smarter than a bird. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 7. Look what it says, brethren. If you have your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 8, 7. This is the word of God. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. And the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. Did you read that? The people of God do not understand judgment. From pulpits across the country, people declare that we are in the end times. They declare that we are in the very end times. They declare it. And people sitting in churches all across the country hear those words. Amen, Pastor. Yes, we are in the end times. But so many of those people do not understand what that really means. They don't get it. So let me explain it to you. This is your lucky day, brethren. I'm going to tell you right now what it means. If we are in the end times, if the judgment has been set, if the Ancient of Days is about to do his workings across this world, do you know what that means, brethren? It means that the judgment of God has begun across this land. That's not what you hear from pulpits, though, today. You hear these sloppy, get-happy motivational speeches, prosperity sermons, who tell people that their perfect little world is going to stay perfect as long as they send money to the preacher. That's what they hear. The prosperity is going to flow. God will send angels of finance to bless you. He will send angels of finance to reward you. I've heard that mess. I've heard that garbage on TBN. I've heard that garbage, those lies from Steve Munsey. I've heard those lies come from made-up verses on TV. I've heard that preacher that you hire, Mr. Benny Hinn, Mr. Steve Munsey, who pimps for you and says that we need to send money, and if we do, God is going to send an angel to bless you financially. Quit lying to the people, Mr. Benny Hinn. Steve Munsey, quit lying. Get that deception out of your mouth. Shame on you. But that's what the people are hearing. They hear this false gospel. Well, let me just tell you this, brethren. Let this watchman, let this man of God declare to you, attention, all people far and wide, the judgment of the Lord God Almighty, whom you serve, has already begun. It has begun, but you don't want to hear that. The blind sheep who warm the benches, the pews across the land. Actually, they're not pews anymore. Now they're just cushiony chairs with people's names on them. The blind that sit on those chairs do not understand. Why don't they understand these things? Why do they not understand that God's judgment is sure? You know why? Because it says in Micah chapter 3, verse 11. And by the way, write this down. You can look it up later. Micah 3, verse 11. It says, the heads thereof judge for a reward. The priests teach, therefore, for hire. The prophets divine for money. And yet they lean on the Lord and say, no evil will come upon us. Therefore shall Zion be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps. They've lied for too long, brethren. And they lie for money. They divine for money. They hand out fortune cookies, false prophecies, happy prophecies for money. That's unfortunate. It's all deception. And it's a lie. They're lying to you. And if you keep giving them your money, you're wasting your money. Your hard-earned money. You're wasting it. This watchman is not going to lie to you. I have no reason to lie to you. You didn't make any financial promises to me. So I'll tell you the truth. God's judgment is on the land. But the church of today has lost the knowledge of who God really is. That sloppy teaching, the greasy grace teaching, it has kept so many Christians in the baby stages of growth. Folks, this teaching, convincing so many that God is only about love and grace. Only. Grace. 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 The people have not been taught that God is also a God of righteousness, which is holy living, and He is also a God of judgment. And I read you that verse earlier from Psalms. The habitation of God, His throne is on justice and judgment. I've had people tell me, brethren, I've had them tell me, you're declaring judgment on this land. I rebuke those words. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're cursing the United States of America. And we are a holy nation. God would not judge us. I've had them say that, brethren. It's almost funny, isn't it? It's almost funny. We don't deserve that. We're a holy nation. Do you know all the good that we have done? And then I tell them, 4,000 dead babies. They don't care. We've done good. We're supporting Israel, the Holy Land. Really? We support Israel, therefore God would not smite us when we're laughing in His face on the law that He has inscribed with His holy finger, His statutes. When our lives are an abomination to Him with reprobate living, you're telling me He's going to overlook that? Do you really believe that? Listen to me. Do not be one of those foolish ones who deny the truth of God. Now, I read a verse a second ago that the stork in heaven knows her times, but the people of God do not know the judgment of the Lord. A bird knows the time, brethren. A bird knows. An animal, a stupid bird brain knows. But silly humans do not. What does that tell you? What does that say? That means that people are dumber than birds. That's what it means. Dumber. Am I offending you yet? Have you turned off the play button yet on this? Is it too hard to hear? See you later. I did my job. To the rest of you, I have more truth coming. Thank you for listening. Those hirelings out there will not tell you the truth, but this watchman will tell you the truth. Telling the truth has a cost. Telling the truth has a price to pay. And I know what price I will pay eventually for doing this. I know. I am very much aware on the price that I'm going to pay. But you know what? Pleasing God is more important than man, who can just destroy the body. Am I supposed to fear that over God, who could destroy my soul? No. The days are coming, brethren, where we are going to have to decide who we're going to be fearing. The days will come when the fear against the man who can destroy your body will have to be reckoned with. And you will have to make a choice that you do not fear them, and you will pay the ultimate price. But that's okay, brethren, because I will meet you on the other side. I'll be there waiting for you. Gladly, brethren, gladly. Why are we better than our Lord who suffered and died for us? We are not better than Him. Let's bear the marks that God allows us to bear with honor and privilege. Let us do that, brethren. It says in Matthew 23, the words of Jesus, I have sent you prophets, wise men, and scribes, and some of them you will kill, you crucify, and some of them you scourge in your synagogues, and you persecute them from city to city. Brethren, in these days we are going to relive the persecution that has happened in the past. It's coming. It is coming. But only those willing to drink from the cup of our Lord will bear those. And on the other side, He will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Do not fear the destruction of your body, brethren. Do not fear it. People say, don't say judgment's coming. I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus. I've had people tell me that. In the name of Yeshua, I rebuke your curses on this land. Really? Well, your rebukes aren't working very well, are they? Look on the news. Look at the Midwest. Look at the poisoning of the water. It's happening. Look at the tempest of deadly storms. It is happening. And by the way, folks, let me say this. I am not the only watchman that has declared prophetically that God is going to smite this land. There are others. There are other voices out there that have published their prophecies, and they are also coming true, that earthquakes are coming upon the land, that storms, vast hurricanes, they are coming, brethren, and they will not be stopped with the measly words of a blind Christian who tries to say, I rebuke that judgment in Jesus' name. Don't embarrass yourself by doing that, you blind one. Your words are falling to the ground. The judgment is set. And for someone to actually have the audacity to say, I rebuke your words of judgment, totally exposes them as a blind goat that knows nothing of Scripture, that knows nothing of the judgment hand of God, that knows nothing on the attributes of God, that God is a God of righteousness, loving kindness, and judgment. He is a God of several areas, not just loving kindness, love and grace. He is a God of holy living. He is a God of judgment. And His strong arm does smite the land when the land grows weary with the sin of the people. He does it, brethren. But for those of you that are blind and resist the judging word of God, maybe you need to blow the dust off the Bible that is under 10 layers of TV guide on the very bottom with dust on it and spider webs. Maybe you need to crack that open for once. What does Isaiah 26:9 say? When thy judgments are in the earth, the people of the earth will learn righteousness. What makes us righteous, brethren? Judgment. What gets your priorities in order? Judgment. What makes you fall to your knees and cry out to God? Judgment. The sin you've been tolerating, those affairs that you've been having? Judgment. For too long, brethren, there are pastors behind pulpits this very day that are having secret homosexual relationships, that are having affairs with our secretaries. Abominable. Ichabod, I say to that. The judgment of God will clean that mess up. That's why we need it, brethren, because today's church is a spotty mess. It's a spotty mess. The goats out there who fill up the false megachurches cry out. The rapture's about to happen. God is going to meet his bride in the air. We're about to meet the bride in the air. Hogwash. The bride today is a wrinkled, spotty mess. You would not be welcome in the hands of God right now, church. Do you really believe, with all the mess that we tolerate, with all the blindness that is all over the church, do you really believe that Jesus would welcome us into his arms right now? No. The church needs to go through a purging. It needs to go through a cleansing, brethren. A cleansing. And his cleansing is mercy in action. That's what it is. A lot of people say his mercy is the grace. I can do anything I want and live like the devil, and I am forgiven. No, no, no. The mercy of God is when you finally cry out because judgment is upon the land and you have your priorities in order and you have a new perspective and the coveting eyes that you have finally have a different perspective and you realize that cars and things that don't talk or speak are not the important things in life. That is the mercy of God in action. When he opens your blind eyes to those things, brethren, that is God's mercy in action. Judgment. The judgment of God happens to work that useful purpose in our lives. You still with me? Are you listening? Listen, my brother or sister. Listen to me. This nation might have one time maintained the heritage of God. At one time. But not anymore. It's so easy to think that your side of the aisle is the complete and right and correct side, isn't it? It's so easy. It is. This country's holy. God wouldn't judge this country. We're holy. This is a Christian nation. We have God on our money. Let's take a survey, folks. I have a survey that I am going to throw out to you. It includes a question, and I'm about to ask it. Go ahead and answer out loud if you know the answer. Okay, here it goes. Here's the question. Which nation is more holy? The United States of America or Russia? The Jeopardy music is playing. Think about it. I can hear the gears of your brain turning. Which one's more holy, folks? And while you are thinking of the answer to that question, let me throw another one out there. Which nation is more holy? Again, let's compare two others. The nation of Israel or Russia? Actually, let's make it a little bit more definite. Why don't we narrow it down? Let's narrow the scope of the question down. Now, the first question I said, America or Israel, let's narrow it down. Let's say, let's pick a town in California. Sacramento? San Francisco? Los Angeles or Moscow? Okay, now the three California towns are in one bunch. Are those towns more holy than Moscow? Russia? Okay, now let's throw another one out there. Israel or Russia? Let's narrow that one down. How about Tel Aviv or Jerusalem versus Moscow? Which one's more holy? Which one, folks? Anybody give up?
Well, the U.S., of course. God bless the USA. I fought in NAM. I fought for freedom. Freedom has a price. It's the USA, of course. God bless the... Do you know how many country songs say God bless the USA? Do you know? Do you know how many classic rock songs say God bless the USA? That's easy. USA. And as far as Israel, well, Israel's the Holy Land, so that's easy.
Is that your answer, folks? Was that it? Okay, you can't change your answer now. Answers are locked in. Okay. Husband's looking at his wife. Wife's looking at her husband. I say this one. Husband says no. I say this one. It's a trick question. Okay. Lock in your answers. Here we go. In order to tell you about the answer, though, I am going to read an article to you. Okay. Looking at a story right here from the news, MSNBC. Flood of people going to be wed in California. It's exciting what's going on in California. It started Monday night, and they had a 87-year-old lesbian woman marrying, I don't remember their ages, but they were up there in age. headline, they're kissing each other, getting married, everyone clapped, they cut the cake. I don't have to read you the details. You've seen it. In addition to that, there is another story that I have right here. The Pink City. Local tourism officials plan on turning Tel Aviv into the gay capital of the world. Israel Hotel Association official says that Tel Aviv and the gay people are a perfect fit. Tel Aviv is known throughout the world as the White City due to the many Bauhaus-style structures that adorn its streets. But the city may be soon called the Pink City, as tourism industry heads are planning on transforming the city into the gay capital of the world, Israel's leading newspaper reported. The leader of the Israeli Hotel Association, or IHA, Mr. Eli Zeev, said, Tel Aviv and gay people are a perfect fit. Now, this idea was born when he recently went to a convention on world travel. During the exhibition, Mr. Zeev met with representatives of the homo-lesbian travel industry and discovered an audience that would travel just about anywhere for a good party, even to the Middle East. The gay community has amazing consumer power, and Tel Aviv has a lot to offer to this community, Zeev explained. We are drafting plans to encourage gay tourism from Germany, England, and Holland, and throughout the world, said Mr. Zeev. We plan on approaching travel agents. We are well aware of the gay community's needs. We're going to launch a special website for gays and advertise Tel Aviv in gay European websites as well. Jerusalem, also, is scheduled to host the World Pride Parade. And by the way, they did. This story's a little bit old. It still applies. Jerusalem hosted the World Pride Parade in 2006, and it was canceled. And instead of marching down the streets of Jerusalem, they instead met in the stadium. They gathered at Hebrew University Stadium, 4,000 strong, homosexual, lesbian reprobates, in our Lord's holy city, brethren, the streets where our Lord walked, carrying the cross, to bring us our most precious and unspeakable gift. The city where our Lord was tortured and flogged and crucified. The city that brought us the cry from his lips that it is finished. That city hosted the World Pride Rally. The story goes on. An airlift for gays. Meanwhile, the Ministry Director of Tourism for the State of Israel, General Eli Cohen, said he would offer any financial assistance necessary to turn Tel Aviv into the gay capital of the world. Husband and wives, are you looking at each other right now? So we have, quote-unquote, Holy Israel becoming gay capital of the world. In one of their cities, Tel Aviv, we have California also attracting people from many parts of the world. I have another story here to read to you. It's in my hand right here. You hear that? That's the report I'm about to read you. Moscow Mayor Yuri Luskov said Monday he would never, ever, ever allow a gay parade to take place in Moscow despite pressure from the West. Last year, he said, Moscow came under unprecedented pressure to sanction the gay parade, which can be described in no other way than as satanic. He also stopped a St. Petersburg rock group performing in the city because of their explicit lyrics. He said, I will not allow that. It's ungodly. It's satanic. We have a man in Moscow, the supposed country where the KGB and the atheists ruled the world, this evil, evil empire, who in a lot of people's eyes here in America is still an evil empire. We have a mayor from Russia with the boldness, folks, the boldness, in spite of the West telling him that he needs to allow it. In spite of that, he says, I will not allow it. What does that say about our country? You tell me, folks, Mr. Sheep that warms a bench on Sunday, or if you happen to be a blind goat, whoever you may be, you would dare stand there and tell me God would not judge this country because we are a holy nation. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Read the news. Read the headlines. The judgment started, folks. It's done. The water's poison. It's going to flow down the Mississippi and poison more farmland. Corrosive chemicals, herbicides, and pesticides, and who knows what is in that water, is going to float down the Mississippi and overflow farmland and water farmland and get into those crops of farmland. Poison is going to get into the crops. That sounds like judgment to me, where the food is poison. That sounds like judgment. Look at the news of what's going on in the drought in California right now. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he declared a war on the drought. That's a funny term, by the way. Declared a war on the drought. But tomatoes and fruits, fruit trees, have their food dying on the vine in California. God has held back the waters. He has shut the clouds off from California. This will not go unpunished, California. And if you happen to live in California, brethren, again, I said it in the past and I'll say it again, do what you can to get out of that state. Do what you can, folks. There have been prophets of God that have seen visions of California getting the big one. There is massive, massive, very harsh judgment coming to your part of the country. Get out of there. There's only one thing that you need to be doing right now, folks. You blind ones listening to me, there is only one thing that you should have on your mind right now. There is only one thing, and that is hiding yourself in sackcloth and ashes. Folks, this thing is just starting. We are just beginning. More things are going to come. Wait till this fall. There are more things coming, believe me. Now, God has revealed some things, like I said earlier. I'm not going to share them yet. As the time gets closer and God releases me to do it, I will share them.
Well, what are they, brother? Please tell me. Can you give us a little hint?
Let's put it this way. It's more sorrow. Sorrow, possibly, in your town. More sorrow is coming. Now, I got an email recently from a person that was asking me, when you talk about preparation, do you mean just saving up food? Is that the main thing that you're trying to tell us? And that's a fair question. Let me say this. If you are one of the knuckleheads that wants to keep the sin that's in your life and just buy a lot of food and put tuna under your bed, but you're going to still hold on to those weights, to that dark stain in your soul, those things that you are doing, those things you're allowed in your life, if you think that you can prepare with practical means and have a survivalist mentality and just save up food without dealing with your soul, you are preparing in vain. My brother or sister, you are wasting your time. The purpose of this storm that is coming is to make us all have a new revival in our heart. So I understand that there is a very strong voice happening on the internet. People are becoming survivalists, self-sufficient, and they're doing things in the natural, which in the natural is wise, but they are not working on their souls. The people that don't work on their souls, you can't cheat with God. God will not be mocked. Everyone will reckon with God. Everyone. Every one of you will reckon with God. If you go out and buy a lot of ammunition and guns and MREs, and that's all you do, and you don't deal with your heart, you're wasting your time. So don't waste your time, brethren. When I talk about preparation, first and foremost, I am talking about spiritual preparation first. Spiritual dealing first. I'm talking about repentance, sackcloth and ashes first. You get yourself right with God first, and then you get your family right with God. Or do it all at the same time. Husband and wives, it's time to quit playing games. It's time to quit beating around the bush. It is so common in relationships where the wife is strong with God, but the husband's playing games, or vice versa. The husband's close to God and the wife's playing games. Folks, come together in one union in your marriage. Get close to God together in your marriage, in your relationship. And then you challenge your children. Some of you have been tolerating things that your kids are doing lately, their lifestyle choices. You need to be the parent God put you to be and say things. Quit playing games with your kids. Quit being their friend. Be their parent. Tell them what they need to hear. You tell them, in our family, we are together going to meet, and we're going to have Bible study. We're going to have prayer together. Or get with other families if you don't consider yourself knowledgeable enough. Find another family and you meet in their house. Get together with them. Brethren, let me also say this. In the future, you are going to see more and more people go into an underground type of church here in America and in the West. The underground church is going to rise up and be the arm of God. They're going to be the ones that the remnant really abide in. It's the house churches. Why is that? Because there are too many churches in towns and in street corners that are wasting time and giving a watered-down message of deception. And a lot of people are realizing that. I get emails all the time from people all over the country and in other countries who are telling me this very thing, that churches are full of lies and they're tired of it. So what's going to have to happen, brethren? The remnant, which is another part of this ministry here, the remnant is going to rise up, brethren, in house churches. So we need to realize that. God is doing this work. It is God that is raising this thing. It is God that is doing this thing. Revival is going to happen in house churches, home churches, prayer meetings, people getting together and just worshiping God, sharing the word, praying for each other. That's what's coming. And the Holy Spirit is their teacher. That is coming, brethren. That's a sign of the times. That is coming. If it's happening to you already, God bless you. That is great. Praise God. If you happen to know about a group like that, praise God. You go to it. If you don't know where any are, if you're alone, then just start praying for God to supernaturally bring people in your path. God can do it, folks. Now, also, I want to say this. I have been getting emails from people that do not have enough money to buy a lot of stores of food. They don't have the money to invest a lot in preparation. And they're getting worried. They're getting concerned because they don't know what to do. If that's you, listen to this, brethren. God knows where you are. God knows your situation. So what you need to do, first and foremost, have the revival in your life first. Restore your relationship with God first. Don't let the judgment force you to do it. Do it beforehand. Okay? You get your heart strong with God, and then you start developing a relationship of prayer to God. And you ask Him. Ask Him, brethren, to bring people your way that can be part of your remnant group. And people will come. You will meet them. God knows where you are. You think you're all alone? God knows where you are, brethren. He knows. And He will bring them. That's my prayer, and I really, really believe that. So what that means, then, is that, folks, some of you that are remnant, that are preparing, are going to need to prepare a little bit extra. Do just a little bit more than your family needs. Plant a few extra rows more than your family might need. Because when the time comes, you might have to share with orphans and widows and people that are poor. You might have to do that, folks. And God expects it. God expects us to help each other during these times. These times are going to be such a purifying time where the love of Christ and the pure love that we should have had in the past is going to be exhibited and is going to flow forth. It's going to shine in us, brethren, where we help one another, where we help our neighbor. Also, I'll say this. Some of you might possibly have neighbors that are not Christian, and you're planting a garden. Plant extra for them. Don't tell them so, but just do it. And when the time comes, you send them some food. You knock on their door and give them some of the food, your crop, your harvest, your bounty. You do that, brethren. This is only going to work, brethren, if we work together. They will know we are Christians by the love that we have one for another. That is the only way this is going to work. So these are very exciting times, brethren. The purging of God brings tears. It is painful. But the yielding of the righteousness that comes out of it, brethren, is a treasure that you cannot put a dollar figure on. It is a treasure, brethren, because you hear finally the voice of God in a way you never heard before. When you go through a purging, brethren, when your flesh dies, the voice of God becomes so clear. And the hand of God working through you becomes more evident. So welcome the purging, brethren, like a grown-up. Welcome it as a mature person. Let us do this together, brethren. Amen? Well, this message was not a sermon or a lesson on end-time Bible prophecy. It was a sermon, folks, and I preached. It was a hard word. I hope you're still with me. I hope you understand the love that is behind the words that I say. Even though they are harsh words, there is love behind them, folks. It would be so easy for me to just minister to my family only, or the home church family that I happen to be a part of here in my town. It would be easy to just limit myself to that, brethren. But God wants me to share with all of you. So that's what I'm doing. I hope this message touched you. I hope it challenges you. I have several more messages that are coming that are going to touch the judgment of God. There's another one that God wants me to share that has to do with that also. So in a way, this is the judgment of God part one, and there's going to be another one. I'm not sure if there's a part three, but this is a message whose time has come and needs to be shared, folks. Again, I welcome you to make copies of this. If you know how to download, download it. Put it on a flash drive. Share it with your friends at work or people at church, with your pastor. Share it, brethren. We need to get the word out. I cannot do it by myself. Together, we can make an army for God, brethren. An end-time remnant army of God. With wise remnant people, with watchmen, with messengers. We can do it, brethren. We're all servants of God. We are bondservants together. I need your help, brethren. So, I love you. God bless you. And we'll see you next time.